asked Rose now if she would read the whole of Philemon.
This is from Philemon 1, verses 1 to 25. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in their home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement. Because of you, brothers have refreshed the hearts of God's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and urge you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who with my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me, so that he could take your place in helping me while I am chained for the gospel. But I do not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem false, but would be voluntarily. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother in the Lord. If you consider me a partner, welcome him as you will welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Theus, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends his greeting, as to Mark, Archippus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
This morning we're looking at a letter to Philemon. Mike says Philemon, I say Philemon. I've said Philemon for 70 years, so I think I'll carry on saying that. But we're doing the same man. He was a leader of the church of Ossi, which is in what's Turkey nowadays. Very well to do. His household contained quite a number of stocks. And wished home that, as he was a Christian, he treated the lover. Regardless of how he was treated, he was determined to get away. He didn't want to be sick. His name was Onesimus, which means useful, and he was totally in his hand. He was utterly useless to him. But probably only to expect that he decided to run away. It was a dangerous step to take, because if he were to be captured and brought back, it could be executed. That was the law. So think about one dark night, Onesimus decides this is the time to leave. He creeps down to the kitchen area, he fills a bag with some food for his journey. He decides it wouldn't be a bad idea, see if there anything else he could pick up to keep him going. And he found some cash lying around, finally even an honest movie, a bit careless. But Onesimus managed to get himself well equipped for his journey, he thought. And up he went, sneaking out into the night and trying to put as much distance as he could between Philemon's house and himself. Well, at first everything went well. Whilst he got his supplies of food, he could hide in the daytime and then travel by night. And by the time his supplies ran out, he'd still got this cash to use. and he thought he was far enough away from Philemon. Luke's question was, where should he head for? Well, the nearest big city was Ephesus, but maybe it would be better to keep going a bit further. If he could reach Rome, he'd be able to escape into all the teeming masses of people who were there and start a new life for himself. Thousands had done it before him, why shouldn't he? And so that's what he decided to do. And just imagine where it was, all the way from Turkey, across Greece, across to Italy. But he got there. And then, after being in Rome for a bit, he found that things weren't going quite as well as he hoped. He wished he'd got somebody who'd prepared him, somebody who'd help him. And that's exactly what happened. Someone, often supposed to be a man called Tychicus, came along, looked after him, and started to tell him a bit about Jesus. Lesbos might have known something from the time he was in the house of Philemon, but whether he was interested there or not, now, when he was in trouble, he wanted to know more. So Tychicus said to him, well, I can introduce you to somebody who'll really be able to teach you about Jesus. He took him along to the prison. How Onesimus' heart must have sunk as he went in there. Had he been recognised as a runaway slave and been betrayed, he was all right. He was brought to meet Paul and Epaphras, who were in prison there, but they were eager to share the whole story of the gospel with him. And he wanted to learn more. He wanted to become a Christian. He made himself useful to Paul, who began to look at him almost like a son. And then he found himself telling Paul the whole story of how he'd come to be in Rome. How he'd worked for Philemon, how he ran away, how he'd robbed his master. And what a shock he got when he found that Paul actually knew Philemon. And of course this put Paul in a difficult position as well. Legally, he should have returned Onesimus to his owner. But he believed that this young man had completely changed from the thief and the runaway that he had been. Paul would have liked to have kept him there in Rome to help him. But he knew that he hadn't got any right to it. So he thought long and hard about it. He prayed long and hard. And finally, he decided what he felt would be the best course of action. Now, he was already planning to send a letter to the church at Colossae. And so he now carefully prepared another short letter to go with it, specifically addressed to Philemon, and this is the letter that Rose read. Well, Paul was very careful. First of all, he sent a greeting to Philemon and some of his fellow workers, and then he tells him how he's heard all about his good works, his love for his fellow believers, the way he shares his faith, and the word that he uses is koinonia in the Greek, and we don't quite have an equivalent in English. It means something like fellowship and sharing and communicating. And Paul is saying how encouraged he's been by the reports he's heard of how Philemon is engaging with his fellow believers. That's right, say all the good things first. Praise Philemon. But quite right, me too. And then Paul gets to the point of his letter. Because there's another new Christian that he hopes Philemon will be able to meet and fellowship with, just as he's doing at the ones from the church at Colossae. But this new Christian, of course, is Onesimus, who's wronged Philemon, and according to the law, he ought to be returned to him for punishment rather than being received in a new position in a more advantageous capacity. So Paul stressed how changed Onesimus has been, how he's now living up to his name, which means useful. I'd have loved to have kept him here with me, says Paul, so he could work with me for the gospel, just as you would have done if you'd been here. But of course, I couldn't do this without your permission. And so I'm writing to you so that this favour, which I hope you're going to do for me, will be genuine and spontaneous, to in Philemon on the spot. He's not only being asked to take Onesimus back as a brother believer rather than a disobedient and runaway slave, he's been expected to recognise that this Onesimus is important to Paul, and Philemon really values Paul's opinions. It seems from verse 19 in the letter that Paul was the one who originally brought Philemon to Christ. Well, have you ever been in a position where your commitment to Christian values has been tested by how you're asked to behave to somebody else? Even worse, when you know you're in the right and it should be the other person making the concessions. Maybe this is when those impossible standards of the Sermon on the Mount come to mind. And finally, you can't even suppose that Paul doesn't know the full extent of Onesimus' wrongdoing. Because in verse 18, Paul offers to cover the cost of anything that Onesimus has done or taken. He even phrases it in sort of semi-legal terms, stating that I'm writing the offer with my own hand. And then he goes on to mention that actually Philemon owes him, Paul, his very self, publishing into salvation. Now, can Philemon be gracious enough to do all that Paul asks and to forgive Onesimus? It even seems, as you read between the lines of it, that he's not just being asked to forgive Onesimus, but to free him and allow him to go back and work alongside Paul. And that would have been a great honour. Well, this is a request that requires a great deal of soul-searching. Maybe an initial feeling of, well, why should I do this? Paul has no right to ask it of me. And in the long term, was it really Paul who was asking it? Philemon come to realise that perhaps it was Jesus himself who was asking him to take this step and to live up to his Christian standards even more than he was already doing. Was it a case that much had been given to him by Jesus, and so he was being asked to give much in his turn? He didn't even have the option of ignoring the request. Paul said that he hoped to visit soon, so he'd find out what had happened. And worst of all was the way that he received the letter. It came along with the letter to the church at Colossae, and Philemon must have been delighted to meet the man who brought it, Tychicus, who had been with Paul during his third missionary journey, who supported Paul during his imprisonment, who was able to give the church all the latest news about Paul and his companions in Rome. He was delighted to meet Tychicus. Now, I wonder if it had been arranged that Philemon had the chance to read his own letter from Paul before he met the other person who had come along with Tychicus. Maybe he sat turning over in his mind what he was going to do. And then he looked up and he saw, half hidden behind Tychicus probably, the slave Onesimus. He looked apprehensive. As well he might. Maybe many times during the journey back from Rome to Colossae, he thought about running away again. This time he'd go nowhere near Rome. Just simply Philemon's Christian faith and attitudes were being tested, so were Onesimus's. Had Jesus changed him enough for him to accept what he'd done, to fully repent of it, to be willing to face the person he'd injured? It might end badly for him. He knew that, but had he really become a new creature in Christ, ready to face what lay in front of him? And so, two men looked at each other, or I suppose to be more accurate, Philemon looked very long and hard at Onesimus, and Onesimus more or less looked up from under his eyebrows at Philemon. And the second stepped away. One of them was in a position of power, and yet he was a servant of Jesus. The other one was guilty, but he was repentant, and he was ready to act in a way he never would have done before he came to know the ways of Jesus. And so they looked at him. And between them was a letter which contained Paul's plea. He also made it clear what he expected. What's going to happen? Is the church going to be able to rejoice in a remarkable example of forgiveness, an outstanding example of Christian love, or would it just have to accept that Paul had been asking too much? How would we have behaved in Philemon's position? Refuse the request? Kept Onesimus waiting whilst to weigh up the pros and cons. Reluctantly agreed that we owe Paul so much, so we should probably do as he asked. Or even found ourselves constrained by another Jesus to forgive the past and accept Onesimus as a brother in Christ. And we don't know how the story ended. The Bible doesn't tell us. Don't you know there was later on a bishop in Ephesus whose name was Onesimus, but we don't know if it was the same man? Maybe the best clue is that this letter to Philemon has survived, and it's in the New Testament along with the letter to the Colossians. Would that have happened if Paul's request had been turned down? Or maybe not. We'll probably never have it ended. So maybe the only way to conclude this story is to ask ourselves what we would have done in Philemon's position. What impact would our choice have had on the fellowship of believers at Colossae? And I think sooner or later, we find ourselves in situations similar to Philemon's. We've got to make our minds up. How do we act? That's the very trite and true statement says, what would Jesus have done? And in the hopes that things went well and the church at Colossae really benefited from the movement of Christ and Paul's attitude, let's sing again.